Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for staying with us today. If you have been, if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We don't care where you are. We don't care how you're listening, radio or internet. We don't care when you're listening. We're just glad you're here because we got some good stuff to talk about with our new friend. He's not a new friend. He's been with us before. His name is Sam Reese. He's CEO of Miller Hyman Incorporated, which many of you know is a global sales training and consulting company. They help companies put their best foot forward in the marketplace. And Sam and his company have been doing some surveys. They've been conducting some studies on sales effectiveness. And this is the 2005 edition. He introduced the 2004 edition to us last year, and he's back this year to talk to us about the new edition. Sam, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on the show, Jim. Great to talk to you again.
It's good to have you back, and congratulations on your new edition of the study.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, it's pretty exciting here. A lot of our clients are looking forward to getting that study every year, so it's pretty exciting.
Well, you know, one of the things that I remember as a young pup selling, I remember observing people who year after year after year were successful. They were successful, and maybe they didn't, you know, get rich during the recession years or in the tough time or whatever, but they always survived. They always managed to be successful, whether the times were good or whether times were bad. And what I noticed about them was that they were true professionals. They knew what made them successful. They weren't surprised when they were successful, and they weren't shocked when things got tough. And that was a mark of success that I've never forgotten.
That's a great point. In fact, when you look at some of the things we've seen in the last couple of years on the surveys, is that clients have really learned how to trim the fat out of their sales organization and got rid of a lot of those pretenders that didn't know how to keep surviving.
They were salespeople because they had a card that said they were.
That's right. Yes, and you find a lot of these companies that are really successful now. I mean, they were able to do it with fewer people than they had in the past here, because now they've got the best of the best, which is I think a good development that happened in the tough years of 2002 and 2003.
Well, back in 2000, I and especially the beginning of 2001, actually, before we were attacked, I started telling my audience to get ready for a couple of lean years. And what I said, you know, I don't want to be negative, but these are not going to be flourishing years for a lot of folks, and you need to focus on the fundamentals. You need to get back to the fundamentals and start operating. You know, the what happened to you in the 90s wasn't because you were so smart. It was because the laws of economics had been suspended, and people were being successful who had no reason nor a right to be successful. And those people are no longer with us in business. But I said, if you're going to emerge on the other side of this period successfully, you're going to have to learn what the fundamentals of operating a business, and in your case, Sam, the fundamentals of successful selling.
Yeah, you know, your point is funny. I've heard so many companies talk about how 9/11 was the big issue that turned their business down. But when you get under the covers, you find that, to your point, Jim, that it really happened in the second quarter of 2001.
It actually began. I remember, I can almost give you a date. It actually began fourth quarter 2000. That's when the recession began. And I remember talking to people who said that they got calls in the fourth quarter 2000. They got calls in the same day from two different customers who didn't know the other one, and the conversation was almost the same. We can't continue to do business. We just have to stop our orders right now.
Wow, yeah. I think that's really common from what we heard about the pressures people started to face. And what's interesting is kind of when you look from year to year, 2003 and 2004 now, in 2003, companies were really focused on trying to get to new markets with their products. And 2004, there was a kind of an about face where they had more success, where it was back to taking care of existing customers,
mm-hmm.
which is great, a great trend to take care of existing customers, because that's where you really should be investing most of your time. However, one of the concerns I have is those existing customers are putting a lot of discounting pressure on people.
Right.
So downstream, I worry about profitability for some of these companies.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sam, I want you. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, folks, Sam's new survey, the Miller Hyman Sales Effectiveness Study that they've conducted recently, will report to us what it said, we'll talk about whether companies really appreciate why they're being successful right now, and if they're able to take advantage of that. And that's coming up right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Sam Rees. Back.
That's right.
17 till, and you got to do it or die, folks. But if you don't know the fundamentals, if you don't know why you're being successful, you're probably not going to make it. Now, you're going to make it in the good times, but you're not going to make it when things slow down a little bit. And that's and Sam Rees, that's what your study found, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Is that, you know, there's a lot of confidence from 2004 compared to 2003. People feel really confident about the economic environment, but at the same time, there's not a lot of detail for many companies on what they've actually done different to actually expect better results. It's kind of like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
Exactly. Well, what are some specifics that you found in the study?
Great. Well, a couple things really jumped out. We asked them what the biggest challenges are facing sales organizations. So we ask it both in terms of pain and importance. And a couple things jumped out that really go hand in hand with the things you were saying there, Jim, and that the number one challenge still for companies as they move forward is, you know, having a real well-defined methodology for effective prospecting and business development. So they're saying, hey, you know, we're doing better, but we don't really know how to go out there and get new business and get new customers. So, you know, they haven't really changed that. Hand in hand with that is just the sheer activity levels of not making enough sales calls to continually add qualified new opportunities. And then the third one was, you know, having an effective process, still a challenge at having an effective process for recruiting and hiring qualified salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the same things that are still challenging people that they haven't really fixed, yet they're feeling better about results just because the economy has really ticked up.
Folks, this is the 2005 Miller Hyman Sales Effectiveness Study that Sam is quoting. Sam is CEO of Miller Hyman. And Sam, go ahead and give us your website, please.
You bet. It's www.millerhyman.com, and that's MillerHyman. And you can just get a copy of the executive summary right there for the website.
They can find the executive summary on the site and download it.
You got it.
Okay, thank you for that. I appreciate you making that available to my audience. What else will we find on your website?
You'll find all sorts of stuff. You'll find specifically a list of all of our public session seminars, which are targeted directly at small businesses, which are, you know, just some of the same consulting services and products that we brought to some of the biggest companies in the world available
right.
to our small clients.
All right.
And that's a really good business for
this
us right now.
This is the kind of training, folks, that you've heard me talk about before. When you've heard me encourage you to get training for your people, the kind Miller Hyman is one excellent example of a company to turn to consider their kinds of programs, because folks, remember what I've said before 1,000 times, we have too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on. The heads that we have to be trained. They have to be prepared. And I know, Sam, you won't argue with me about that. I want to ask you a question about people not making enough sales calls. You know, Sam, I was carrying a kit bag and a briefcase into offices a long, long, long time ago, and went for the first time. And I'll tell you how old I am. I was typing proposals on an Underwood 5 when I started. And so that's a typewriter for you young folks, by the way. It's a boat anchor now, by the way. Sam, but in those days, selling was different than it is today. Do you think – it seems to me that selling is a pretty complicated process, and I don't just mean selling, but I mean getting in front of people. It's a lot more complicated than it was 30 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, now it's not just dialing for dollars and seeing how many calls you can make. It's a matter of finding – and there's enough information to figure out, but finding ideal clients, you know, the people that – definitely can benefit from your services and spending your time targeting those people. Mm-hmm. And there's enough information for people to do that intelligently.
We used to say selling was a numbers game, and to some degree it is, but it's becoming more of a focusing, targeting, and a relationship game, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the numbers, like you said, you know, they have to be there, but it's not a numbers game anymore, in my opinion. I mean, that's just, you know, part of the job. Of course, you got to have the activities. But it's much more about the skill level and going after the accounts that have a fit for what you guys are trying to do. There's one thing I would say that really connects top performers, and that's that they know how to lose really fast. Hmm. And what I mean by that is they won't spend a lot of time on accounts that they don't have a great hope of closing. They move on to the next opportunity where they can provide value.
They recognize a China egg when they see one, don't they?
That's exactly right.
Because you know what, folks, you know what you've heard me say about China eggs. There's one thing we know about a China egg is it will never hatch.
No matter how many times you put it on your forecast list, it still will not hatch.
You can sit on it. You can cluck over it. You can keep it warm. You can roll it over. You can do all kinds of things, but it's never going to produce a chicken for you.
I'm going to steal that phrase from you. I love that.
You can have it. I've been using that one for a long time, China eggs. What are some other things that you learned, Sam?
You know, a couple of them really that were interesting is that when we talked to them about the looking for an effective process for recruiting and hiring qualified salespeople, what's kind of changed is people are saying what we want is we just want to replicate our top performers. Mm-hmm. So last year it was more around, hey, what's the definition of a world-class salesperson? Now the focus is let's just find out what our top people do and now get me 10 other people to look just like them.
Mm-hmm.
That was one. And then the one I thought you would find interesting is the whole thing around CRM software, customer relationship management
right.
software.
Mm-hmm.
We found that although it was one of the highest things on the pain index for salespeople, it was the absolute lowest on the priority.
Huh.
That meaning salespeople are saying, yeah, we've got CRM and it's a problem, but we don't want to do anything to fix it because it's wasting our time.
Well, I want you to – that's really important because I love technology and how it's helping small businesses. I want to talk about this some more when we come back, the CRM issue. We're going to do that with Sam Reese right after these messages. He's CEO of Miller Hyman. That's MillerHyman.com.
I changed my way. It'll take time, I know it.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our friend Sam Reese, the CEO of Miller Hyman. We're talking about their 2005 Miller Hyman Sales Effectiveness Study. Folks, this is an important document that I encourage you to go to MillerHyman.com and download because I think you'll see yourself there. I know you'll see yourself there. You'll either see yourself from the standpoint of you'll say, well, you know what, I'm not doing that, and it's a good thing because that's not good. Or you'll say, whoa, we are doing those things, some of these things that aren't so good, and that's the reason why we're not, you know, being as successful as we should. And so I hope you'll check that out as soon as possible and give it to your salespeople and see if they can't – you guys work together on that and see if you can't do something to be more successful. Because, Sam, as you and I both know, nothing happens until somebody makes a sale.
That's right. That's where it all starts.
Yeah. And I mean, there is no question about chicken or egg in this situation, is there?
No. I mean, I always say it all starts with how you talk with customers and prospects, and that's the sales force that does that.
Right. Let's get back into this customer relationship management software, CRM, that's really kind of a buzzword these days. Tell us again what you found about how they felt about customer relationship management software.
You bet. So what salespeople and sales leaders are saying is they're saying that it's caused them a lot of pain, but
is it causing them pain?
Well, what's happening when you talk to them is that the initiatives on CRM are being driven by people not in sales. So they're being driven by finance or information systems. And so they're creating a burden for the salespeople rather than creating a tool for them to help them sell more.
So it's become, well, of course, one thing we know about salespeople, and this, folks, this is a natural law. The better a person is at selling, the less they're likely they are to want to deal with detail.
That's exactly
right. Would you agree
with
that, Sam? Isn't that like a natural law, isn't it?
Yeah, but what's happening is a lot of the companies are installing CRM, and they're installing it with the sole purpose of monitoring their salespeople so that if a salesperson leaves, they won't have a risk.
Right.
And salespeople get that. So,
right.
You know, it doesn't make sense to them after every sales call if they have to spend an hour inputting the information.
CRM should help them sell more, shouldn't it?
Absolutely. And the smart companies have figured that out. The smart companies have said, what do you need salespeople? And we'll figure out how to get the information we
right.
need back at the corporate office.
Well, plus you got to get the information. And again, if salespeople are saying, "Look, I want to sell. I don't want to be a scribe or a cipher or an accountant. I want to sell."
What I always tell people when they're installing the systems is, like I said, just make sure it's really clear. You know, the old phrase, "the whiff and what's in it for them."
Right.
And you know, if you can tell the salespeople, for example, if you're going to do some great marketing because of the context they put in there, or you know, there's some good programs to help the salespeople, then they'll put information in. But if it's just a matter of monitoring them, who
and
would ever know?
And the more it seems punitive, the less successful it's going to be, isn't it?
Yeah. If companies could listen to you on that, there'd be a lot more success. But instead, I see all sorts of companies creating all these penalties for people that aren't going to, you know, go by the rules there.
Sam, there's so many things that people could benefit from if they would just listen to me. I just don't understand why more people don't listen to me. I could solve the world's problems, but from your mouth to God's ears. What are some other things that you learned in the study,
well,
Sam?
Well, a couple things really interesting. On the, you know, we classified winning sales organizations as there are only 188 out of 3,500 of those, and those were companies, so less than 5%, companies that did three things. They increased overall revenue, they increased new customer acquisition rates, and they increased average deal size.
Mm-hmm.
But there are only 188 of those, so we really dug down to find out about these winning organizations. And these were companies from all sizes, small businesses, medium, and large. And it was really interesting. What they did better is they provided, just what you and I are talking about, is they provided more flexibility for their top performers.
Mm-hmm.
They had a really well-defined methodology for how they identify opportunities. They know how to put talented people in the right position, and they know how to share best practices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what was really different in terms of the variance between them and the rest of the organization.
And
all
the things, that you just said is in this report, isn't it? The executive summary.
Yes, it's all there.
It's all there in the executive summary.
And then the full report will come out here, I think, the first week of April, that has the detail on every question, but the executive summary will give you all that information.
Yeah, and folks, I really encourage you to go there. I think you'll see yourself either in a good light or in maybe not such a good light, but either way, it's information I think will benefit you. Sam, thank you for conducting this study. Thank you for giving us this information, and we're looking forward to getting you back again real soon.
Thanks for having me on your show, Jim. Always
give us your website one more time before you go.
You bet. www.millerheiman, MillerHeiman.
HEIMAN.com. Thank you
That's
very
right.
much, Sam. We'll see
Thanks,
you next
Jim.
Time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program really is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.